for the very first time. That afternoon, Katie went home wondering about covenant and pondering what it might mean to be given a new name. That night, as Katie knelt next to her bed, she prayed the following prayer. God, it's me, Katie. I heard about how you gave Abram and Sarai new names, as they were becoming something new and something greater. And God, I want to become something new and something greater. God, please give me a new name. And let it be Stacy. Out of the mouths of babes, a greater truth is revealed to us today. The signs and symbols of covenant with God vary from age to age and generation to generation. And God is continually refreshing that relationship with us by making us something new and something greater. But that last line of Katie's prayer is the real gem here. God, please let it be Stacy. Katie was right in asking God to make her something new, something greater. In some way, that is what we are all asking of God in this season of Lent. But I think Katie may have gotten ahead of herself a bit here. You see, Abraham and Sarah did not get to choose their new names, and neither do we. We can ask God to make us something new, something greater, but in relationship with God, we don't get to choose what that new and greater thing might fully become. Our role is not to choose what God will make of us, but to receive the sign of the covenant and live into that covenant through faithfulness. The innocence of my friend Katie's childhood prayer reveals a greater truth. We often want to choose our own name. We want to decide what we'll become. And in doing so, we often deny the name that God has intended for us, the purpose that God has for us. Abraham and Sarah are living proof that God does not require flawlessness, but faithfulness. How many times have I striven to choose my own name? Melanie, the great homemaker. Melanie, the giver up of chocolate. Melanie, the 10-day record breaker. How many times has the name that I have asked for been about self-promotion and self-interest? How many times have you asked God to make you something new and something greater, not for the betterment of the world, but for the betterment of yourself? What have we given up or taken on in this season of Lent that really and truly is about us, and not about the love of others? This season of Lent is not about being made new and being made greater for our own sake. It's about being made new and being made greater for the salvation of the world. In baptism, God makes us something new, something greater. And God gives us a new name. God names us Christian. And we either live into the fullness of that name through faithfulness, or we discredit that name by not living up to its full potential. In the gospel lesson today from Mark, we see the truth of what it means to take on the name of Christ. Being a disciple of Jesus is not as Peter had originally supposed. Jesus was not an earthly king that would crush the Roman Empire by force. He wasn't interested in human things like fame and fortune. He pointed toward divine things, like feeding the poor, healing the sick, clothing the naked, and befriending the outcast. Jesus was not concerned with preserving his own life, but instead gave it over fully to God as a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. Jesus didn't choose to be called the Messiah, the Son of God. But as this name was given to him, he showed us how to live into that which makes us new and greater. Being named a Christian is not an opportunity for us to rest in the comfortable assurance of eternal life. It's an opportunity for us to recognize the hurt in the world and respond to injustices and inequalities that keep others from experiencing love. The symbols of the new covenant are not luxury cars or posh clothing. They're not privilege or prestige. They're blood and cross, sacrament and sacrifice. As Joseph Small puts it, a theology of the cross declares that the church is not Christendom. Faith is not certainty. Hope is not optimism. And love is not painless. So long as we continue to set our mind on earthly things and not on divine things, God will continue to say to us, "Get behind me, Satan." As long as self reigns, we will forever be seeking painless shortcuts to the kingdom of God. But if we deny ourselves and give up our lives to the mission of the gospel, we will become something new and something greater. We will become what God has called us to be, Christians. Like Abraham and Sarah, God does not require us to be flawless, but God does ask us to be faithful. We will all mess up from time to time. We will fall short of loving our neighbor as ourselves. We will choose our own comfort over the comfort of others, and we will take more than we need, leaving others with too little. But at the center of who we are is goodness and love. And as we come to this Eucharistic table, we are reminded that we are living members of the body of Christ, a body that was given over so that the entire world might be made something new and something different. Tonight, when you go to bed and when you pray your prayers, don't ask God to make you something new and something greater for your own sake. Recognize that God has named you Christian for the sake of the world. And then ask God to give you the strength to live up to that name. Amen. Amen.